JP Shadrick with John Osier. We're live on Jaguars.com. The Jaguars have selected at number two overall tackle Luke Jokel from Texas A&M. He is the newest member of the Jaguars. Here's what's coming up here on Jaguars.com. We will stay with you live right here, John and I, up until the press conferences just next door to us here. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley will address the media. Right now, that crew is out on the field for the big draft party here at Everbank Field. They'll make their way into the media. They're scheduled to join us at some point right after that. So stay with us right here on Jaguars.com. You'll get it right from the first person.
A lot of moving parts on Jaguars.com tonight. it's like a professional show business.
It's a big night, I think, right, Johnny? Here's a little more background. For Texas A&M, this is the fifth A&M player selected in the top five since 1967. Going back to 1980, Curtis Dickey, number five overall to the Colts. 85, Ray Childress, a defensive end of the Oilers. 92, Quentin Coriot to the Colts, and then Von Miller, of course, in 2011 to the Broncos. So A&M, boy, their first year in the SEC, they get a number one overall pick, or number two overall pick right after.
Let's hope this is Von Miller, right, and not right. You know, Quentin Coriot. So, I mean, Texas A&M joined the SEC. I mean, you know, by the SEC this year, so people, I think, in this area know a little more about Jokel. But really, this was a guy who all last season, there were a handful of guys that you started hearing it was possible they would go number one overall. A lot of people thought all throughout the process, really until today, that he would go number one overall. So, you know, an argument can clearly be made, and I think a lot of draft nicks would make the argument, that the Jaguars got the best player on most people's board. Is there a huge difference between him and Fisher? I don't think so. I think both of these guys, as you went through the draft process, the thing about the tackles was you kept hearing – these were the guys who had the fewest flaws. They were the surest things. And I've got to believe that with your first pick, at some point that really started to appeal to Dave Caldwell of, hey, this is a guy who I don't have to worry about, who I don't have to sit there and go, okay, where am I going to play him? Am I going to move somebody around? It's clear there is a need for a right tackle to come in here and play right away. Again, as we said, the guess is that will be Jokel, but there's no doubt where this guy's going to fit. There's no doubt you can use him right away.
Right.
And the upside is very high. So it was really, I think, once he got down to it, after all the speculation, after all the, you know, what with the tweeting and the mocking, it started to make a lot of sense in the last couple of days.
And that's only in the last couple of days because, mm-hmm. boy, a week or so ago, you could have thrown a couple of defensive ends at us and said, hey, number two overall.
As I did, right?
Yeah. So, that changes quickly.
Yeah. It really does. And a lot of times with the mocks, what you get is somebody who's reputable mocks, and everybody follows that. You had the Deion Jordan two or three weeks ago. You had Bjorn Werner back in the day. You had Ziggy Ansah, Geno Smith. All these names were thrown out, which really speaks, as we've talked about a lot, JP, this was a draft where you had no idea who was really going to go number two. I think people stayed away from the idea of left tackle for a long time with this team because you said, well, Eugene Monroe's there. So let's go figure out where else they can find a need.
Right.
But again, I think when push came to shove, Dave Caldwell's looking at this roster, I have a clean start. I want to build through the draft. And when he says build through the draft, he means starting to get foundation points, guys that he knows he can count on for a long, long time.
Right.
At that point, a guy who plays a position that is relatively easy to scout, very few bust at this position, I think all of a sudden that became very appealing and very logical.
And I think they brought up the point on one of the coverages, either NFL Network or ESPN, that it is the final year of Eugene's contract.
Sure.
I don't know if we want to go down that road tonight,
well,
but it's got to be in the mind of whoever's making that pick.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be an issue going forward,
yeah.
And it'll play out. You don't know how that'll play out. Dave Caldwell talked this week about you need two good tackles in this league. It may be a situation going forward in the next two or three years where the dynamic of that position changes. Right now, left tackles usually make a lot more money, and you've usually only got one highly paid guy at those spots.
Right.
As you go on to a more passing-oriented league where you have more teams with rushers on both sides, that may change, and the dynamic may become we need two guys who can really protect the passer. I think that's a situation that it's one of those classic you'd rather have a situation where you've got two good players and trying to figure something out with a guy than only have one good player. So I think they just wanted to get – the most talented here they could. I think that's going to be the theme of the weekend. It starts with getting a guy who, as we've said, is a very, very sure thing in draft lingo. There's no sure thing in the draft, but in terms of the draft, this guy's as close as there is.
We're live on Jaguars.com. J.P. Shadrick with senior writer for Jaguars.com. John Oser, about 5 minutes away from going to the podium for the first press conference of the evening. We will stay with you up until then. A little more on Fisher and the selection for the Jaguars. He is the 23rd SEC player selected by the Jaguars all time, the most of any conference in Jaguars history. The ninth of those to come in the first round. The last of those was Derek Harvey of Florida, the defensive end. The 14th underclassman, junior or younger, selected by the Jaguars all time, seven in the last 9 years, entering today. So they're going a little younger.
Yeah, he's younger, but historically, junior and younger left tackles coming out, it's not a position that needs to develop the way you would be concerned about a younger guy coming up who maybe needs to develop. Usually guys at this position, if you're a tackle and you can play, you can usually play and play well early. So it's not a position that needs a whole lot of time to develop, whereas a defensive end might, or a wide receiver might. Left tackle is one of those positions that even a young guy coming out early, historically, has been able to adapt pretty well.
Let's wrap it up. We'll head to the podium right now. The first press conference, Luke Jokel is a member of the Jaguars.
That he's going to
go second to the Jaguars. Somebody said
good luck in the draft today. He said that's
right. How we doing?
We're doing good. How
are you doing?
Okay.
Thank
you, Wayne. Yeah. Coach, if you want to open up,
shut up.
Dang bit.
Okay.
All right, we're in.
Obviously, we're very excited with our pick. I mean, Luke's outstanding. We brought him in here. We had a chance to meet with him. One of the few teams that did. Spent a lot of time with him and really liked his whole competitive edge that he had. Outland Trophy winner. Went against some of the best competition in the SEC week in and week out and really showed up. So we had him rated as our top guy on the board, and for us to get him at the second pick was truly outstanding for us. So I'll open up for questions.
Left tackle or right tackle starting?
You know what? There'll be an open competition, and if it works out where he's our right tackle and Eugene's our left tackle, and that's what's best for the team. I mean, we'll take everybody. We'll take everybody. And we feel like Eugene's a very good player for us, and we just added to our up front. But it'll still be a open competition, like always, like we said right from the start.
Would you have any Eugene has said that he has a little discomfort with moving because he's only played left tackle.
Right.
Would that, as a coach, cause you any discomfort?
No, you know what? To be honest with you, right from the start, I'd say it'd be nice if we could keep it as is, and his comfort level. And he's a good player now. Good player. That's how you build organizations. That's how you build teams with top picks, on the offense and defensive line. And we feel like we have one in Eugene. And now to get Luke to add to that, it's a great move for us. We're heading in the right direction with that.
At what point did you feel like this was going to happen? I mean, you're picking it too. I feel like you have a decent shot of getting the top guy on your board. But
right. Well, we had Dave will go on that. But I know we felt comfortable about two positions, that were on our board. We felt really comfortable. So we were ready for either one. Obviously, Fish is a good player. We felt very strongly about him as well. But we just, we had Luke on our board higher. And, when they made the pick and he was available to us, it didn't take very long for us to make that phone call.
Would it have been the same deal had Fisher had
that? Well, we had him rated high, too. We were ready for either one. I'd be remiss by not saying that we felt like he was a good player, too, because he was. Fisher was a good player.
So he would have likely been your pick had Luke gone first?
Yeah.
So what do you like about this guy?
I've said we want to find really competitive guys, and I know, he's a soft-spoken guy when you meet him for the first time, but his competitive edge now on the field, and when you sit down and visit with him, we want to have guys that really love football, and that's what he brings. He's extremely competitive, tough, reliable, smart. Those three things that we look for in our guys, he possesses. But, you know, Outland Trophy winner, like I said before, he's got really good feet. George Yarn, our offensive line coach, absolutely loves him. Just his movement skills, and, you know, we run the zone scheme with some gap schemes up front, and we feel like he'll be a good fit for that. He's got really good feet, controls his body really well. So just, you know, we feel like he's a guy that's going to play for a long time.
How much time did you spend with him personally?
Initially, my first meeting was about 40 minutes, and then we visited again. I sat with him before we went into Dave's office and spoke to him for another 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and yeah, I felt really good about him.
What stood out about him? Something he said or the way he...
He's very confident, but it's not ego-driven. Very confident. He understands that he feels like he's got some areas to improve, but he's confident in his abilities. And I think by going against guys like Von Miller every day in practice, you know, you know, some of the SEC competition that he's gone against, I think he feels like, you know, this is the next step for him. And he welcomes the challenge and team player. But I think he's going to bring a little edge to our guys.
How big was it that he could fit into that zone scheme? Was that a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, both those guys did. Both those guys, we felt they were good fits for us. So, you know, that was it. He just felt like he's really a good player now on tape. And, yeah, he's a good fit.
Gus, one word you did not use in describing him was nastiness. Is that a concern?
Well, you know what? I think that was, you hear that out there about his nastiness, but, and I suppose when you meet him and you see him in some of his interviews and things like that, that you don't maybe feel that from him. He's a good man now. He is a good man. But when you put the pads on, you see it. You see it. Some of it is what they did at Texas A&M. So we even went back to 2011 when he was protecting for Tannehill. And that's what we looked back at, and we saw it. And, you know, we saw it this previous year as well, but it showed up there. So he's just a different man when he puts those pads on. So, yeah, there's no doubt he has nastiness. But, you know, every day you see him, he's just quiet, you know, very strong. You'll get a chance to meet him and visit with him. You'll feel it.
Gus, you said you wanted to have open competition. What does that necessarily mean when you say you want to? You would prefer at this point to keep Eugene at left tackle and one at right tackle. Well, the only way you can have open competition is to give the right tackle some reps at left tackle.
Yeah, you may see that now. You may see that, and we're just going to get the best guys on the field, whatever their position. But, you know, that's what we taught. We felt like Luke could play left or right tackle. And, you know, I think, you know, Eugene's a good player. We feel strong about him. He had a good 3 days in our mini camp. And I know his comfort level there. But just like all of our guys, they know there's competition. I would hope that Eugene doesn't focus and go, okay, now I got to pick it up. We just drafted a first-round pick or a first pick or second pick, excuse me, in the draft. I'd rather have it say where Eugene says, I'm trying to be the best I can be, and let's go. It doesn't matter who we bring in. And I think he would share that same sentiment. So, you know, we'll put it together, and we'll get a chance to see Luke in our scheme and how it fits all together, but they'll both have a role, believe me.
Were these two tackles pretty much a coin flip? I mean, they're very, very, very close.
I know during the process, we went back and forth on them. I know that we looked at them, but I think for the most part, if you had asked Dave, that he would say Luke was our guy.
Was this, in your mind, because you had so many other needs, I mean, you could have made an argument for, you know, defensive end, cornerback, or whatever, but did you consider this position the most important building block for where you guys are?
Well, I mean, we thought he was the best player. And, you know, regardless of need, we said in that beginning we were going to try to, you know, stick to our plan of drafting the best player that's available at that time. And it just so happened that, you know, Luke was there for us. He was our best player and our top player on our chart as we went through it. And it's in a need where we need competition. And so he fits the bill.
We're going to get Dave up here.
Would you be comfortable taking the Fisher if KC had taken Joe?
Yes, we would.
You would have no problem with that.
No problem with that.
We'll bring Dave up. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Did Gus tell you he was going to play him at three technique?
No. Hey, guys, I appreciate your time. I hope you weren't sitting around too much. How's the food?
Good food. As good as the other afternoon. Yeah. Okay.
We had a 9.3 grade on the chicken fajitas and a higher grade on the cookies.
All right. Well, I would go cookies personally. So, with that being said, you know, we went offensive tackle. We're excited about it, and this kid, I think you guys are really gonna like him, and you know, dealing with him obviously, not only as a football player but as a person.
Was there any consideration at all as far as trading back? Did you get any offer that tempted you?
You know, I'll be honest with you. We got very little play, and there was a little bit of casual inquiries. A couple days ago, last night, and it was nothing substantial. And I think Oakland just traded, what they get, a 2? Yeah, and they went all the way back to 12, right? So, yeah, I think there was very little interest in teams coming up to 1 and or 2 and really 3. I think Miami probably got a pretty nice deal.
Speak up a little bit.
Oh, is this not on?
No,
oh, sorry. Sorry, Vito.
Same question for you that I asked Gus. Do you consider the left tackle position, of all the needs you have, what maybe the most important building block position or up there?
I consider both of them. And for us, it was a situation where we gave up the third most sacks last year, not only from the left side, but from the right side of the line. And we needed to correct that in order to help Cecil Shorts, Justin Blackman, Maurice Jones-Drew, Mercedes Lewis, whoever our quarterback's going to be. We needed somebody that can pass protect for us. And, you know, I think way back when you guys had Tony Buscelli and Leon Searcy, and you guys did fairly well back then having two tackles. The way the game is now, we play in a division where Houston brings a lot of pressure from both sides. Indianapolis, they have Robert Mathis, who I know very, very well, and he lines up on the left side all the time. So, you know, teams can rush a passer from either left or right side. We feel that they're both close to being equally as important.
Was there something about him, other than what you saw on tape, that made you think he was the top guy?
You know, it's funny. When Shad interviewed me, he asked me, before I even came here, who I thought the best player in the draft was going to be, and I said Luke Jokel. And here we are, 108 days later after I got the job. But, yeah, you know what? He comes from a football family. Everybody in his family has played football. He's been playing since he's been able to play. He started every game at Texas A&M in his 3 years there. Came in, he was able to, you know, when you watch him, I remember going to watch him and some of their coaches pointing out, watch this guy going against Von Miller. And you watch him as a young freshman that just came out of high school. He graduated high school early. And you just knew early on that this guy was going to be, you know, a top NFL player. And I've had very good friends on the Texas A&M coaching staff. I just as late as on Monday, I called one of them. I said, what should we do if Luke Jokel is there? He's like, make the card before the pick and turn it in as soon as you're on the clock. So from that aspect, we were, you know, it was an easy selection for us.
Seems like a very clean pick with all the games he's played, no injuries, played high level, played at a big school. Was there anything that feel like you had to dig to try to make sure that there was?
Yeah, we dug, and, you know, we have a great scouting staff. They do great research, great background. I've been fortunate at my time in Atlanta where I went to Texas A&M the last 3 years, and I saw him as well as a lot of other players. And so no matter who you talk to some coaches in the league that coach at Texas A&M and coach Jim, I know, you know, they speak very highly of him. It's very good. I don't want to say it's a safe pick. I think it's a good pick. You know, very seldomly do you talk about offensive linemen being good football players. You talk a lot about being athletic or size or speed or strength. With Luke, he's a good football player. He understands angles. He's got very good technique. And he's been – I don't want to say he's been born and bred to be an NFL football player, but he's going to be here shortly.
How surprised were you to find him fall to you there?
You know, we got word last night that we thought Kansas City was going to kind of go into the direction of Fisher. And, you know, Eric's a really good player, too. He's got a lot of positive qualities, and he's going to be a really good football player. So I wasn't too completely surprised. We were happy that Luke fell to us, like you said, being a big school guy, playing in the SEC, playing against, you know, some of the best pass rushers, not only in the conference the last 3 years, but on his own team. You have DeMonte Moore, who's had a ton of sacks this year, as well as playing against Von Miller every day in practice as a freshman.
Advantage, disadvantage, or does it not matter that he didn't play a senior year?
The advantage is I think it's only going to make him better. You know, he still has a ceiling. His ceiling is he's going to get better and better. So he's only been there for 3 years, and, you know, he's only 21 years old. So I think it's an advantage that we don't have the finished product.
Dave, we talked about this the other day. Like, critics are going to say this is still a right tackle. Can you just, you know, just kind of defend it in terms of the importance now of right tackle nowadays?
Yeah, well, the importance is kind of what we said, you know. Teams can bring pressure from either side, and it helps our offensive coordinator, where if we don't have to chip on the right side, we can put more players into routes. And having two tackles, as you see what San Francisco has done with Anthony Davis, you know, they just gave him a long-term deal and paid him quite a bit of money. And the way the new CBA is now, you can take a non-value position higher, and because it's not as big a financial obligation, so it doesn't limit you in the salary cap, it doesn't limit you with cash. And from that aspect, it's great. And to have two really good offensive tackles, that's a good problem to have.
So you were also on board with taking Fisher at Kansas City, taking Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Any chance you'll move back into the first at all? Or,
we'll see. We're going to wait and see what kind of happens here in the next, you know, 20 or so picks. And we'll see if an opportunity presents itself. We'd consider it. But
you said you weren't going to trade up?
We prefer not to.
Okay.
But you never know.
Is it your style? You were awfully candid on Monday, everything you said. You know, usually people have hyped and smoke screens. You said you expected, you know, you'd be surprised if you didn't pick at two.
Right.
You certainly sounded very upbeat about the tackles. Is that just your style? Or you figure, hey, just, you know.
I can start lying to you if you want, Vito. You want me to start lying to you?
I think it's good. I mean,
yeah. No, it is. I want to be honest with you guys. And, you know, obviously there comes a point in time where if it's, you know, something that's going to hurt us in terms of, you know, strategic or stuff like that, there will be things that I can't tell you. But I want to be honest with you guys and as much as I can.
Did these guys look even better when you look at all the other guys around them in terms of injuries and stuff like that? There was a lot of question marks.
There are, you know, as you get farther in the draft, you get more and more what we call kind of red flags in terms of different things in terms of somebody asked me about play history and that. And, you know, that's a red flag, you know, guys that don't have a whole lot of experience and as well as, like you said, injuries. So and as we get in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, when you're picking, you know, later in the draft, you want you're going to have to take some of those guys and there's going to be some issues there. And but it wasn't just about him being safe. I don't want you to think this is a good play, a really good football player.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Did you at all, who did you talk to in this thing? Talked about him being from the football family. Did you talk to other siblings in the family?
I haven't talked to him, but we know his dad, his brother's on the Texas A&M team. He's a backup quarterback. His dad played college football. I think he had another brother that played college football.
Where did dad play at?
Texas A&M.
Oh, okay.
And Baselli was involved in some aspect in terms of watching him at all? Tony, not that you're not aware of?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
There's a chance to trade down the first pick, second round. You talked about that.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's definitely. That'd be more likely than trading up, to be quite frank with you, since he called me out on it.
We'll get Luke on. We will get Luke on.
Well, you're
tour.
Honest, yeah. So I, you know.
But I'd never say never.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The thoughts of David Caldwell, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is on his way to us here momentarily. But what a night for the Jaguars. The number two overall selection, Luke Jokel, the tackle out of Texas A&M. There have been some other moves since then. The Dolphins traded up to number three. They got Deion Jordan, the defensive end linebacker hybrid from Oregon. Lane Johnson, the tackle from Oklahoma, goes to the Eagles. Ziggy Ansah, out of BYU, the freakish athletic talent, he'll go to the Detroit Lions. And as of right now, last check, the Browns are on the clock at number six. So a lot of movement early, just not with the number one and number two selections. But, boy, what a night for the Jaguars. General Manager David Caldwell is about to join us here on the set live on Inside the Jaguars. And there's your mic right there, David. Congratulations. What a night, huh?
It's been great, yeah. That's been great.
You got your man. You had Jokel in your sights most of this time, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. I'd say about 2 weeks ago, it became really clear to us what direction we needed to go into. and we weren't sure he was going to be the guy that was going to be there at that point in time. And but when it came closer to the draft, we really felt good about him coming and selecting him.
You mentioned in the media room a moment ago that you really kind of found out last night that Fisher might be the man for the number one pick.
Yes.
How did that process go? Did you get a phone call, an inkling from a scout? What happened?
I got an inkling from a source, we'll just say.
Okay.
That pretty reliable source that felt like, you know what, they were going to go in the direction of Fisher.
Take us in the war room tonight, your first draft as general manager. The scene in there, we understand there's a little celebrating going on. Right?
Yeah, there was a little celebrating. We had some music. You know, we tried to change the karma. We actually had a Catholic mass at 4:15 in the draft room before it all kicked off. And then, you know, we put some music on, wanted to make it light and just have a good atmosphere. And, you know, everybody was really happy.
I've seen you in the hallway a couple of times today, and that's the most relaxed I've seen you all year. I know,
and that's what's great about this day is you get a little bit anxiety leading up to it, but when the day arrives, you have some calmness that comes over to you, and I think that's a good thing.
David Caldwell is with us, general manager. You answered a lot of the questions about the actual football in the media room, so we won't repeat a lot of that. But I want to ask you about the number 33 pick. Has there been any action, any phone calls, anything coming up on that?
There's been a little bit of action, just some kind of feeling out if we'd be interested in moving back. And there's been some people that asked us if we'd be willing to move up, and we'd be more inclined to move back than we would to move up.
Sure, which you said that the other day in the media luncheon, that you just don't want to give up picks, right? Picks are more valuable.
Especially where we are right now.
Sure. David, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
General manager of the Jaguars, just selected number 2 overall, Luke Jokel, the tackle from Texas A&M. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.